welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McArabi of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, had some time to look back at last week. Does anything new kind of jump out at you?
Nope. nothing new, just old problems that we got new adjustments to them. So
when you have a stretch like you did that end of the third quarter, is there anything really to learn from it, or is it kind of a burn the tape and move on moment?
What I decided in that moment is that, you know, I need to do things. I can't just accept that happened, and it's just so happens that it's been happening to us all year. So it's my job as head coach to make sure that I've created provisions for that not to happen again. At least have a plan for, you know, for that's, you know, that diagnosis. Like, that's the if we're having a problem with getting snaps and fumbling, what am I going to do about it? And I think, I can't just keep looking at it and say, oh, well, we're just going to be fumbling. Mm-hmm. I have to figure out an issue. I have to figure out a problem for that. A solution for that issue.
And we've talked a couple times about kind of, you know, looking at the season in thirds. You're into that, starting that final third. So Right. Just what's kind of the main focus for these final three games as you get ready for districts?
You know, the focus issues have been our downfall in those two. Because I really feel like, as I watch film, it's not physical. Like, we haven't got outmanned, but teams have been able to. The good teams have been able to benefit off of our mistakes, and we keep creating mistakes for ourselves and losing games. You know what I mean? So we really need to focus in on our job, because we're not going to beat good teams doing what we have done those past three games.
And is that focus kind of just the main thing that needs to happen as you get this final third started with Sedalia, and especially for homecoming?
If we don't turn over the ball, we win. I really feel like if we don't turn over the ball, we win the games that we lost. Mm-hmm. And, so assignment, alignment, technique, and ball security is going to be our mainstay for, getting games won or going into games, because I feel like if we do those things, that we'll, the outcome will be where we need it to be.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. Kyle, I from what it sounds like, last week's game, you lose 43-17 at Elias. It's the score is going to look maybe a little bit deceptive just because of one particular kind of bad stretch, but it sounds like Hollis was probably going to win that game otherwise, but it does sound like it got really ugly there just because of one particular stretch.
Well, I'll say up until the end of the third quarter, I mean, even as you built into the end of the third quarter, it looked like Capital City might be building up to do kind of what it has done before. Okay. They cut it to a one-score game. They got a turnover on defense, like looking for the opportunity to maybe go down and take the lead if they were able to put together another good offensive drive, which they had the last couple.
Right.
It kind of looked like the momentum was swaying Capital City's way in a one-score game in the second half.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of, maybe they'll be able to pull this off. And then just the worst minute and a half of football that I maybe have ever seen. I like, the implosion was insane.
Okay.
Capital City, right after that fumble, runs a couple plays, then fumbles right back to Hollis.
Right.
Hollis has a short field, thinks, okay, let's take a shot. Wide open, on a post, touchdown. Now it's a two-score game. Capital City takes the next kickoff, first set of downs, fumbles again.
Yeah.
Helias has another short field. All right, let's take a shot.
Right.
Touchdown. First play. Kickoff, Capital City, first set of downs, fumbles the snap. Helias, short field, let's take a shot. Touchdown. So you get a 20-0 run, because Helias went for two on one of those and failed. So a 20-0 run in about a minute and a half, where Capital City lost three fumbles on three sets of downs.
Right.
I mean, the internal implosion that was is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to Coach Collier about it, and, you know, he's been looking at it as, like, we were right there with Helias.
Sure.
We had a chance, just like we did against Rockbridge, just like they did against Jefferson City. Right. They were within a score in the third quarter in all three of those games, or after with Rockbridge in the fourth quarter, and then hurt themselves, shot themselves in the foot in a way that they couldn't recover from.
I guess that was my question. Is this just a thing of, hey, you're a little bit snake bit in this particular game, or is this the sort of thing where once you're in the midst of this and you kind of see it going a little bit south, and you've had two of those games prior because now you're on in the third game of a three-game losing skid, is it just that it becomes kind of self-fulfilling prophecy at that point because you see it going that way and you go, oh my gosh, here we go again? Or was it just a simple matter of, in each of those games, but for a play or two here that could have stopped things from going south, you didn't get that particular play?
I think there was a little bit of a snake-bitten aspect in this game specifically against Helias, where, like, after that second one especially, it's just kind of sitting there like, can we do anything?
Right.
Right? I don't think it was necessarily a build-up from the previous two games. Rockbridge wasn't necessarily a mistake in that same sense. It was more just you get the late turnover, you're within a score, and then your offense just isn't able to produce. Jefferson City was just kind of a rolling of a few mistakes throughout, especially the second half, but the second quarter kind of got to them, I think, and demoralized them a little bit. And then this one's just, you just play after play after play, and at a certain point you just go, man, again?
Right. Yeah. So I guess the end result is, you know, you end up to the point where you're now 3-3 overall and you're 2-3 in the conference. So I know because of how things went last year where they had that stellar 7-3 season, we kind of came in with a lot of maybe, I don't want to say heightened expectations, but we thought, okay, this is a team that's shown it can do this. But now that we kind of maybe zoom out and we kind of take a macro view rather than a micro view, if you look at the schedule, we could have also at the beginning of the season said, hey, there's three very winnable games to start off the season. There's three kind of possibly losable games to start the season. And then you have kind of three games to end the season that are also much more winnable than those middle three. Mm-hmm. So I guess, is this just a matter of, okay, now we still aren't sure kind of where we are with this team because they've won the games they should win. They've kind of lost the games you thought were kind of toss-ups or potential losses, and then now you got a chance to get refocused going into the final third of the season. So I guess where do we stand after now 2/3 of the season?
I mean, the middle third definitely didn't get the results that they wanted, right? But I think you can look at it and say, like, they were in all three of those games in the second half,
right?
Against good teams, right? They didn't get blown out in any of the, I mean, the score against Helias looks like a blowout. It turned into a blowout.
Sure.
But you were still in that game in the second half.
Yeah.
Got the turnover you needed and had the chance to take the lead.
Right.
So there are positives to take away from all three of those losses where you can say, we as a team were able to play with them and it wasn't anything they did that beat us necessarily.
Right.
You know, it's we beat ourselves. And if we can solve those issues, especially over these next 3 weeks with more winnable games.
Right.
I was trying to figure out a polite way to say that. You've got teams where your offense is going to move a little better. You'll be able to kind of work through these issues while still progressing and developing. And if you can clamp down on those problems as you move into the playoffs, you're in a very good spot.
Yeah.
Because physically, scheme-wise, all of that, they were able to play with the big boys in the middle of the schedule and showed that they can keep up with them if they don't shoot themselves in the foot.
So if they're able to do that, and we'll get to this tonight's game in a second here, but if they're able to do that kind of over the last third of the regular season, is this more than, when you say clamp down and fix those mistakes, is this more of a physical thing, or do you think this is more of a mental thing where this is a point where you go, if we get this fixed, it's because we're mentally tough enough to come back from a game like that where we kept having blunder, and then we can still manage to right the ship and progress on?
I mean, the mistakes certainly were mental. When I talked to Coach Cutler about them, he just calls them focus errors.
Okay.
And it's kind of, you lose focus on a play, and then a fumble's the result.
Yeah.
Right? It's not being able to handle a snap in a certain case. That was the third fumble. Or the first fumble in that stretch was, you know, trying to make too much out of a play that was getting blown up. You end up pitching to a running back who thinks who's going out to set up a block, not looking back for the ball, and then the ball ends up on the ground.
Right.
You know, or the second one was a missed handoff. It's that type of stuff that has to hit correctly in this type of offense, and you need to have that focus every single play when you run this type of offense where stuff is moving very late in the play.
Yeah.
You know, there are decisions being made at the final second on those handoffs, and, you know, if you lose that focus, that's going to be the result.
Yeah.
So that's been, you know, the intention during practice has been, we need to make sure that we are focused on every single play because we cannot have this happen anymore.
Right. So tonight's opponent, it's a home game against Sedalia Smith-Cotton, who is 1-5 overall, 1-3 in the CMAC. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, again, if we were looking at the schedule from a faraway view, we would have said all along, hey, if they do stumble at any point, this is going to be one of those get-right games. And I think in some ways it still is a get-right game, except for the fact that these last 2 weeks have shown us that Smith-Cotton might be getting some stuff figured out, only from the standpoint of, you know, you look at 2 weeks ago, they get the first win of the season, and they thump Hickman pretty good, which, you know, 52-28, nobody saw that coming. And then I think then last week you look at it and go, okay, yes, they went back to their losing ways last week, but they only lost 20-14 to a battle team that, yes, has struggled this year, but is also one of those games where that would be a battle victory in most of the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So I guess it's one of those games where you go, I'm not saying this is a trap game, but I'm also saying you can't take this as lightly as maybe you would have been taking it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it looks like Sedalia's offense is legit this year. I mean, they have two games over 400 yards as an offense. They put up 535 in a loss against Warrensburg, which is crazy.
Right.
And I think they lost by 20 in that game.
Yeah, 47-22.
Like, to put up 500 yards and lose by 20 is crazy. Right. And then, 424 against Hickman, 297 last week. So, you know, the offense has definitely moved a lot better. A good portion of that's come on the ground, which Capital City's been very good in the rushing defense so far this year. But Bo Gray, Sedalia's quarterback, is right about at 1,000 passing yards this year.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where the issue's been the last couple of weeks for Capital City's defense. You know, the secondary issues have become apparent the last 3 weeks. So, you know, if Sedalia is able to get the ball moving through the air, it could cause some issues. But also seems like maybe the Sedalia defense just isn't quite all figured out yet.
Right.
So Capital City's offense should have a bit easier of a time moving this week than it has the past three.
So if the secondary has been kind of a problem aspect the last couple weeks for the Cavaliers, is this a thing where you go, it's a matter of taking the players you've got and trying to figure out what to do with them? Or is it a matter of we might see some different players at those spots that might be, it's time for a change, let's see somebody else and see what they can do?
I think it'll probably be the same core of guys. I don't think the issue has been, you know, like physical talent or anything out of those guys. I think the defensive backs are a good group. It's just kind of fitting into the defensive scheme and really figuring out kind of that coverage situation.
Okay.
You know, the first couple of games of the year just didn't have a lot of passing either way.
Right.
And, you know, it just wasn't something that really needed to be worried about. And I think maybe the defensive backs kind of got into a mindset that, like, they should be eyes in the backfield looking for a runner coming out toward them, instead of eyes on their receiver or whoever they're covering, and that's led to a couple of blown coverages that turned into major plays.
Yeah. So I guess if it does boil down to, can the Sedalia defense get enough stops to keep them in this game, I guess the question is, okay, again, taking the season in thirds, is this going to be the Cavalier offense that was kind of strumming along to about, you know, 40 some points a game for the first third, or the one that's kind of scuffling along at about 22 the last 3 weeks? So do they get back to those high scoring ways this week and be able to have some success against that Sedalia defense?
I'll kind of split this into two parts, because I think scoring wise, we'll kind of get back to that first third where, you know, guys are breaking a few more tackles. It seems like, you know, Sedalia just doesn't have quite the mix of guys on defense that Helias or Rockbridge have, where they'll be able to kind of just pull down Capital City's runners in a way that they, you know, just were strong enough to break out of the first couple of weeks.
Okay.
I think we'll kind of get more back to that. The other portion is we saw a big part of Capital City's offense really open up the last 3 weeks with the inclusion of the passing game, especially against Helias, a lot more passes thrown, you know, and that's been growing each week. We might see, you know, another few different sets, different plays and stuff mixed in as we get into these final weeks.
Okay.
So the offense is not reverting back to what we saw those first 3 weeks. Kind of asked specifically about that, as, you know, you're trying to clamp down on these focus issues. Are you going to go back to what you know you can do and what is probably good enough to win you these final three games? Whether, you know,
right.
They could go back to the basics of the offense and probably win these final three games. But Coach Collier said, you know, no, they want to open it up as much as possible, especially in these games where they think they're going to be able to have some more success, get that momentum rolling through the final 3 weeks, figure out that they can operate the offense that way and have it ready to go firing on all cylinders as they get ready for district play.
So as we enter this final third of the regular season, then I guess the one of the big questions is always, how healthy is the team at this point? I would say, what's the injury scenario like for the Cavaliers?
Much better than last week.
Okay.
Capital City was missing four starters last week in Marquez Galladay, Reese Turner, and then we knew about those two going in. We talked about them on the pod last week. We did not know that Philip Richardson and Nehemiah Hamilton would also be out.
Okay.
That was kind of a I got to the field and saw they weren't in pads.
Right.
All four of those guys are back this week. There are no new major injuries. No guys expected at this point to miss this week. So, you know, I mean, I think that played a pretty big role last week, especially in that momentum turning where kind of you're missing four of your guys.
Right.
Your four of your key guys. Having those guys back this week, I think, will be a big boost.
Okay. Guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And I'll just ask you, how do you see this one playing out tonight?
All right. I have picks in the paper this week, and I actually remembered to
good job
put them in that's, my notes
that's better than some
were.
People do on these podcasts, Trevor.
So I picked Capital City to win 35-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia, McArabia. Thanks for listening.